Abraham took a hope to be such as any problem to another. She had been a good daughter, she was a good daughter, she was a good daughter, she had a Krishna Gopa Govida, Shama Kundarada, she did go over down the guy. She was a Dabandam, she never lived down the guy, don't be one of those about the divine guy. Anana Gauri Vaishnava Vrindigajai, Samabhata Bhaka Vrindigajai, O Brahmanandi, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Shikaranga, all glories to some of the Prabhupada. Om Namah Bhagavane Vasudevaya,
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 Om Namah Vishnupadaya Krishna Sambhudaya, Yishimani Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane, Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Srinivasi Prashasade Chatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaurabhakti Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bring round Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22, verse 27. Dagasayo,
Dagasayo, Buddha,
Buddha,
Samasta,
Tadguno,
Naiva,
Atmano,
Chaste,
Paratmano,
Yad,
Vyavadanam,
Purastad,
Swapne, Yata,
Purusha,
Dad,
Vinashe,
Dagasayo Mukta Samasatadguno,
Dagasayo Mukta Samasatadguno,
Naivatmano Bahiranta Vichastate,
Naivatmano Bahiranta Vichastate,
Paratmano Yavyavadanam Purasta,
Paratmano Yavyavadanam Purasta,
Svapneyata Purusha Tad Vinase,
Svapneyata Purusha Tad Vinase. Liberation,
samastha,
all,
tadguna.
Tadguna.
Qualities in connection with matter.
Qualities in connection with matter.
Na.
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 Na. Na.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Soul or super soul.
Soul or super soul.
Bahir.
Bahir.
External.
External.
Anta.
Anta.
Internal.
Internal.
Chaste.
Chaste.
Acting.
Acting.
Paratmana.
Paratmana.
Of the super soul.
Of the super soul.
Nyat.
Yat.
That.
That.
Vavadanam.
Vavadanam.
Difference.
Difference.
Purasta.
Purasta.
As it was in the beginning.
As it was in the beginning.
Swapne.
Swapne.
In dream.
In dream.
Yata.
Yata.
As.
As.
Purusha.
Purusha.
A person.
Person.
Tat.
That.
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 Vinase.
Vinase.
Being finished.
Being finished.
Translation: when a person becomes devoid of all material desires and liberated from all material qualities, it transcends distinctions between actions executed externally and internally. At that time, the difference between the soul and the super soul, which was existing before self-realization, is annihilated. When a dream is over, there is no longer a distinction between the dreamer and the dream. Purport, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, one must be devoid of all material desires. When a person becomes devoid of all material desires, there is no longer need for speculative knowledge or fruitive activities. In that connection, in that condition, it is to be understood that one is free from the material body. Examples already given above: a coconut which is dry is loosened from its outer husk. This is the stage of liberation, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukti means Sarupena Vivastiti, situated in one's constitutional position. All material desires are present as long as one is in the bodily concept of life, but when one realizes he is an eternal servant of Krishna, desires are no longer material. A devotee acts in his consciousness. In other words, when material desires in connection with the body are finished, one is actually liberated. When one is liberated from material qualities, he does not do anything for his personal sense gratification. At that time, all activities performed by him are absolute in the conditioned state. There are two kinds of activities. One acts on behalf of the body, and at the same time he acts to become liberated. The devotee, when he is completely free from all material desires or all material qualities, transcends the duality of action for the body and soul. Then the bodily concept of life is completely over. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Iha yasya harir dase karmana manasa gira nikila sokyavasta suhiva nuta suchite. When one is completely fixed in the service of the Lord, he is a liberated person in any condition of life. He is one jiva mukta, liberated even within this body. In such a liberated condition, there is no distinction between actions for sense gratification and actions for liberation. When one is liberated from the desires of sense gratification, he is no longer to suffer the reactions of lamentation or illusion. Activities performed by Mikarmis and Gyanis are such as lamentation and illusion, but the self-realized liberated person, acting only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, experiences none. This is the stage of oneness, or merging into the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that the individual soul, while keeping his individuality, no longer has separate interests. He is fully in the service of the Lord, and he has nothing to do for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, he sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not himself. His personal interest completely perishes. When a person comes out of a dream, the dream vanishes. Well, dreaming, a person may consider himself a king and see the royal paraphernalia, soldiers, etc., but when a dream is over, he does not see anything beyond himself. Similarly, a liberated person understands that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, acting in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord, and as such, there is no distinction between himself and the Supreme Lord, although both of them retain their individuality. This is the perfect conception of oneness in relation to the super soul and the soul. Translation: when a person becomes devoid of all material desires and liberated from all material qualities, he transcends distinctions between actions executed externally and internally. At that time, the difference between the soul and super soul, which is existing before self-realization, is annihilated. When a dream is over, there's no longer a distinction between the dream and the dreamer. So here we have a discussion of the annihilation of material desires, or the destruction of karmas and desires, etc. So it says here, dubbed Asayo, or this, the Asaya, meaning the desires or the heart or whatever, are all burned up. And of course, in reference to the previous verse, it's talking about Rati, or the Supreme Lord. So in this condition, then one is no longer affected by matter. Then several things happen. There is no distinction between internal and external. And the difference between Atma and Paramatma disappear. So this sounds like merging into God. So we attain bhakti, and through bhakti then we merge into the Supreme Lord. So that can be one interpretation which the impersonalists will take. So that bhakti is a stage to reach impersonal realization. Of course, if we take the context here, what has been said before and what is said afterwards, then we'll see it sounds a little bit contrary. We use bhakti in order to get liberation, and that's the end. What does this mean, that the difference disappears? That word javadanam has several meanings. Of course, it means obstacle or distance, difference, so many aspects to it. We can understand that the obstacles between the soul and the individual and the Supreme Soul, that is the Supreme Lord, disappear. Before that point, before we get to Rati stage, even if we're doing bhakti, there are the obstacles of desires, ahamkara, subtle body, etc. So here it talks about the destruction of those obstacles. So when the obstacles are gone, there is no distinction in that sense. There's no barrier between the relationship of Supreme Lord and the devotee. So that is the way of explaining this. So in the process of bhakti, we start out by accepting the relationship, and then through the process of bhakti, we get rid of the obstacles. That is, ahankara, desires, karma, etc. The process of bhakti burns up all of these obstacles. And when that is so, then the relationship between the jiva and the Lord can manifest nicely. Before that, obviously the relationship is there, but it is not strong because of the obstacles for the jiva. So when the obstacles are gone, then the jiva can very freely interact with the Supreme Lord. So this is actually the process of bhakti. We start from an initial process with a slight relationship, and through the process of bhakti, the obstacles are destroyed, and consequently the relationship becomes stronger. So we trace the stages from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Vajna Kriya, Narthana Vritti, Nishtha Ruchi, Asakti, and Bhava, and then Prema. So this is tracing the simultaneous destruction of the obstacles and the increase of the relationship. Our attraction to the Lord increases, and our attraction to material things decreases. The emphasis is upon the increased attraction to the Lord. And the side effect is decreased attachment for material energy. So the more one advances with attraction for the Lord, the less attraction one has for material energy. So when one reaches the stage of bhava and prema, then the attraction to the Lord is strong, and the attraction to material energy is completely destroyed. So that's what it means here by Dagda Asaya. Everything is burned up. And as I said, Kapila says that through the process of bhakti, you destroy the subtle body,
it becomes completely dissolved. That means that all the desires and the ahankara and the karmas disappear through the process of bhakti. And it's also compared to digestion. So we eat food and the food is digested. And so like that, the karmas are completely annihilated. But the purpose of eating the food is not simply to digest it, it's something else. That is, we get nourishment from it. So similarly, the whole process of bhakti is not simply to destroy karmas, but the process to actually is to increase the bhakti. And in the process of doing that, the karmas and whatever are destroyed. So that is the strength of bhakti. When we increase the bhakti, automatically it destroys all these obstacles. So when they're destroyed, then one can very freely interact with the Supreme Lord. In a dream, we can try to establish a relationship, but it doesn't work very well because everything is on a very subtle level. And when we wake up, and then we understand, oh, this was false. So this is an obstacle. The dream state is an obstacle to the waking state. And no matter how much we try to enjoy in that dream, ultimately we wake up and we find that there's no enjoyment there. It's actually, we're in the real world, we have a different body. So in the same way, when one develops bhava and prema, then this other reality of attraction to material energy is completely dissipated. It's gone. But for a person who hasn't got bhakti, who's simply in the material world, then he is completely attached to everything in the material world. They think this is the goal of life. This is real. When he reaches bhava, he understands, oh, that's all useless. So it's like a dream at that stage. It has no significance for him. So when one reaches bhava and prema, then the material world has no attraction at all. One does not have to practice, because one's attraction is innate at that point. One is actually always engaged in serving the Supreme Lord. It's like the waking up. Then when you wake up, you understand that dream was all useless, so you don't think about it anymore. And you go on with your activities. So this is the state of highly developed consciousness. When we're attracted to the Lord, then all these effects are there. That is the dissolution of material energy, etc. So that is the power of bhakti. In comparison to that, the process of jnana, as I said, is an attempt to control the senses and with the intellect understand that one is not the body, one is atma, and consequently we reject desire and attraction to things in the material world. So it can happen by cultivating the intellect and strength of intelligence, etc. And then we can control the senses and mind and isolate ourselves and simply concentrate on Atma. But it's a difficult process because the senses always want to be active. And similarly with the yoga process. Also can be done, but it's also difficult to do. That process ultimately works, as said in Bhagavad Gita, by jnana you can destroy karma as wood is destroyed by fire. And so you can destroy the obstacles eventually. And the same with yoga. But it takes a long time, and great endeavor is needed. Whereas in the process of bhakti, that process of destroying the subtle body and controlling the senses, etc., takes place automatically by the development of bhakti. That is the difference. So by developing bhakti, all the other things happen. any other processes, the concentration on simply destroying desire, destroying the ego, etc. That is why the process of bhakti is considered superior, because we don't have to put effort into that destruction of material attraction. It happens with the development of attraction for the Supreme Lord. So that is that proves the superiority of bhakti. And therefore, one who engages his activities and his mind and his voice and his other senses completely in the Supreme Lord, then he is called Jivan Mukta. If our mind or our senses and our body are enjoying in the material world, then we're not liberated. So if in all circumstances, Nikilasvapyavastasu, in all circumstances, one is engaged in serving the Lord with all the senses and the mind, etc., then one is liberated. So simply by engaging oneself, one gets free of the material world. We don't have to put forth any effort to get that destruction of obstacles. Simply the process of engagement in the service of the Lord. So that is the point made here. So the destruction of karma, etc., takes place, and then there's no obstacle for the relationship. So that is the stage of bhava and prema. In bhava stage, it is almost complete. There's a few obstacles, a little bit of obstacle left. In prema, there's no obstacle. So when a person reaches the prema stage and there's no obstacle, that relationship is fixed and one cannot deviate from that relationship. It is fixed. So that is why the Lord guarantees, you come to me, you do not come back to this material world. So that relationship is very, very fixed. Bhava stage, it is possible to fall because the obstacles are still slightly there. In a lesser state, in sadhana, then more obstacles. So more possibility of falling to that state. Even then, as Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, nothing is lost. Whatever amount of bhakti you do, there is no loss of that bhakti. Unless, of course, one commits aparadhas. But otherwise, birth after birth, one can continue the process and increase that attraction. And it does not normally get destroyed. So that is the advantage of bhakti. Yeah, we have jnana and vijnana. We realize atma, and more than that, we realize Supreme Lord. So that's specialized knowledge, vijnana. But depending on how you use it, it can also put you in bondage. The mind is your friend and enemy. So if you don't control the mind, then you end up in material bondage. If you control the mind and use it properly, then you can get out of the material world.
Is it the mind is controlled by the speech and the words? Speech and the physical action. Does it depend on that mind?
Speech and physical action, does it depend on mind?
Well, they're interrelated. Obviously, the mind stores all the information from the senses. But even if you, if your mind isn't operating, sometimes your senses can act. It's also there. They may not act very rationally, but still they can act.
Sometimes you think something, but you speak something. Sometimes you think something and speak something, act something else.
In a rational state, of course, the things are connected. The irrational state, they may not be connected. The action may be different from what's in your mind.
Or is it the stage of prati, one starts doing manasik seva?
No, one can do before that also. Even in puja, there's manasa puja in deity worship. Then we have smaranam, process of smaranam, which can start at the beginning of devotional service.
How do you understand this sentence that the internal and external activities are same, become same? I mean, what acts internal and external is same?
Oh, well, for if we destroy the obstacles, that is ahankara, etc., there is this, when we're not, let's say we have the ahankara and we have our mind and intelligence, etc., there is a disconnection there between the atma and the external world because we have this barrier. When we get rid of those things, the obstacle isn't there. So therefore, the Atma's desires are reflected very easily outside in his actions and whatever. But if the ignorance is there, that creates a great barrier. So the Atma's desires are stifled by the, let's say, the ahankara, etc. So then, therefore, internally, that means the Atma and all the other things, subtle body and gross body, they act according to the Atma very nicely once we've destroyed all the ignorance. But when we don't, then there's that obstacle there between the two things.
Yeah, sometimes the dream of the deities. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the devotees are dreaming of the deities. Like Ganga, Bali, Baba, Krishna. At the time, we dream of them.
The dream state is not a controlled state, so that's why the sleep state is considered ignorance, manifestation of ignorance. Nidra is considered tamagun, because there's no control. Well, of course, sometimes we have dreams. We also have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj has a dream and then he goes to Vrindavan, whatever. So not all dreams are Maya. They are also inspirations from the Supreme Lord. That can be there. But in normal cases, we don't really have control over that state of, you know, sleep. So therefore, it's called tamas in most cases.
Where do obstacles come
after
the stage of bhava and not going into the stages?
Yeah, usually due to previous aparans that will influence and disturb. And therefore, one can deviate from that state because influence the previous upper us. That is the explanation of Bharat becoming attracted to the deer. He did a previous upper us, and that still, the effect remained in Bhava stage to disturb him.
Something less spiritual desire is even
obstacle.
Something less spiritual desire is even obstacle.
Spiritual desire? No. That's bhakti.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the effect will continue for a long time.
The ultimate devotion is to go back to Krishna's service to the world. Nevertheless, some such souls stay here to serve and to give another to uplift the consciousness. Does it happen due to the desire of that soul, or does it happen due to the desire of the Supreme Lord?
Both. Oh, there's so many verses that can do. The 11th canto is full of such things. Whole chapters are jnana, merging into Brahman, like that.
So, Maharaj, why there is a certain class of people who are actually more inclined towards that and not bhakti?
It's a taste due to association, usually. And they develop that sort of taste.
धर्मराज सुशील भागवत की
जय
भगवान महाराज की
जय
जय जय जय जय जय जय जय जय जय जय
जय
जय
ఎల్లారికి తీసుకుంటాం కూర్చున్నాం.